When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish.
The podcast that... Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kyle.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Wait, okay, go ahead.
That
go ahead.
Done anything
I, yet. I know. I'm just, it's anticipatory.
Oh, the interrupting gay.
Interrupting gay who? You're ghosting me. Oh, I'm getting a message on Facebook Messenger. Hey, girl, I know I was supposed to interrupt you, but I can't make it. Frowny face. Let's get brunch soon. Love, kissy face. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
we're going
to
talk about the big J-O.
Yeah, we're going to talk about jerking off.
Yep.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
There was a person that wrote in and said that we tiptoe around the hard words to say.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you
have
saw
they...
that. It was in a.
No.
I think it was in a review, which you don't read reviews anymore because they
nope.
stress you out.
Yep. Wait, maybe they mean hard words to say as in like people's last names and words with more than four syllables.
Nope. They mean words like jerking off or rimming. They specifically mentioned rimming as something that we had a hard time saying out loud. But first.
Yeah. I want to thank Patreon members, Solomon Rigney, Todd.
Wait, is that like Eleanor Rigby?
And Solomon Rigg. That's what Paul McCartney wrote at first, but he was drunk then and he forgot. Todd Jones. Who? Todd Jones and David Robinson.
Oh, Jesus loves you more than you will know.
Is that another Eleanor Rigsby thing?
Same era. Go ahead.
Sure. All right. Meaning an era I don't care about. That's it. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I guess I need to complete the thought. Thank you for signing up. It's overwhelming. I did not expect to have this many people support us, so we really appreciate it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Thank you.
It's upsetting.
Upsettingly cool.
I was having this conversation with my brother the other day that, like, the podcast has reached this point where if I pay too close attention... the responsibility feels overwhelming.
It stresses you out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just have to pretend it's you, me, and Dan at my kitchen table. And
yeah.
That's no further than that.
Yeah, well, Reynolds is here, so you can at least expand your worldview to him.
Yeah, he should eat more of the roommate's underwear. That would be... nom, nom, nom.
Thanks, Patreon members.
Yep. Corrections?
Sure.
I have a correction. It's not really... it's not a correction, but it belongs in this sort of
it's
space.
It's an asterisk.
Somebody wrote in and said that they thought it was problematic that in the last episode, was it the last episode or the episode before?
Last one.
In the last episode, that we start at the top of the episode, I mentioned that we know things about our audience and we know that we have kids in our audience and that it's okay for them to confront stupid adults.
Yeah.
But the point being, I mentioned that we have audience members that are kids. And then at the end of the episode, we asked for our audience to send nudes. So by the
and also record their sex.
So by the commutative property of Instagram, I have asked teenagers for nudes.
I don't. Okay. But just so we're 100% clear, if you
don't do that,
don't know if you're not of age in your location or ours, then don't do that. If you don't know if it's legal for you, don't do it.
Yeah.
Unless you're really, really hot. No. Don't do it. Definitely don't do it. We like not being in jail. You like not being in jail. Yeah. Everyone wins. You can send us. Nope. I was going to say, I don't know if it's okay. Nope. I'm not going to venture into any other jokes or territory. Don't do it.
We are labeled not safe for work. We're labeled 18 and up. And so please,
if you're listening to this and you're not 18 and up, you're a bad, bad boy.
Dirty boy.
So dirty.
This is not getting better.
Sorry. Okay, no, don't send us things that would get us in trouble or you in trouble.
Correct.
Okay, we need to stop talking about this so we don't. Okay, I have two things that we've been saying at the end, but I wanted to say up front.
Okay.
I forgot to tell you before this moment.
Okay.
I have two things I need to say, Mike.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Is that what you're holding up two fingers, or is that just like a aspirational?
Cut it out.
Okay, great.
Aspirational.
You're like fingering the air.
I could be holding a cigarette right now if that was cool. Okay. First, we have new merch.
New merch.
New merch. It's your new merch. It's like
merch, but new.
That's the merch jingle. We have things that Dan designed. Thanks, Dan. Things like, I'd rather be fucking Dan. Who knew? Dan set up a shirt that's for him. And we have stretch goals in the shape of a butt plug. We have, give me other things. Oh, gape. That was the best motion to remind me that of Mind the Gape in the shape of what? Mind the Gap? You know.
The London Underground.
You know.
It is a completely unique design that is not based on anything else that might be copyrighted or trademarked or not public domain.
Totally true. I forgot about the part where we made it up.
We have coffee mugs that say, hey, Mike on one side and hey, Kyle on the other side.
Yep. Wow. That's the first time we've ever said that. And I feel incomplete now.
Kyle.
Hey, Mike.
We have a coffee mug that says what we just did.
Okay. Whew. So you can go to gayishpodcast.com and click on the merch button. You can buy it all there. The other thing is we've been asking you for this for a little bit. Dan, can you ask for this? Because I asked questions. 150.
Yeah, we're still in need of questions. Questions that like kind of trivia questions about Mike. That ideally things that maybe you heard on the podcast as you've been listening over the months, years, weeks, days, and that we can ask Kyle and see if he's been paying attention and
he is
vice
not, but
yeah, and vice versa. And ones about me, if we haven't got any of those.
Oh,
I just had to write them all myself.
Oh, damn.
So watch
that's
out.
The saddest question, God. Like image of you just writing questions about yourself.
Yeah.
Who feels lonely right now? Me. That's the answer.
That's the answer.
I think what people want to know about you, though, Kyle and I don't.
We'll
too
find
bad.
Out.
So send those if you'd like to participate, send those to fuckingdan@gayishpodcast.com and I'll add them to the list in preparation for next week's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Is this the time to say that we're doing a live stream on Sunday?
Wait,
yeah.
No. Well, yes, but put 150 in the subject line to help make fucking Dan's life fucking easier. Okay, now's the time.
Oh, okay. So Sunday, the 15th of December, is our 150th episode, and we are doing a live stream on Facebook.
Did you say 15 or 50?
On the 15th. Sunday, December the 15th.
Okay.
We're doing
remember
our 150th
that question?
Episode.
Remember that question about if I pay attention? Because I don't.
Yeah. It is at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God. It is.
It's at 2 p.m. Pacific time on Facebook.
Yes. We posted it to our page, so you can go say you're going there.
Yep, and you don't have to be in the Facebook group to watch the live stream. It will be on our page instead.
Yeah, and we'll be taking questions live. Yeah. So if you want to watch us take it live, then it'll be there.
Kyle.
Mike.
No, hey, Kyle.
Oh, hey, Mike.
You're doing the news this week, and okay. I don't like it.
I asked to do the news because last week I...
You're going
to
tell me that Billy Dee Williams is a crazy old man that didn't know what he was saying.
Oh, no. And... You need to do that in corrections.
Okay, great.
Go ahead and do that.
Oh, okay. Billy Dee Williams, apparently, like the week after his He's Gender Fluid article, somebody asked him, so are you really gender nonconforming? And he's like, what?
But okay, I think someone just put that as the title of the art. I don't think he actually said that word.
No, all he said was that he uses himself and herself.
Yeah,
because he has a feminine side.
Yeah,
and then that went, I mean, I get it, girl, you got to get those clicks. Like
that also happened recently with Queerty, where they posted like, this person comes out as, it was something dumb like aesthetic is sexual or something, where it was like, I think boys can be attractive, but I don't like wouldn't have sex with them or something. And he like replied and was like, I didn't do that. Like, yeah. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I don't like this headline. Like, it's just, Yeah, it's all about that click.
That's not why you wanted to do that.
No. So I said on the last time that the news was like so formulaic that like it'd be very easy to create a news story because they're all like very similar themes.
Okay.
So I did that.
Okay.
I have three news stories. One is fake.
Okay.
And two are true. And great. You're going to see if you can figure out what the fake one is.
Okay, great.
I assume this is what Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is, but I've never listened to that.
There is segment that's very similar
to this.
Sure,
okay,
yes.
Okay. Wait, Don't Gay Me. Yeah. Okay.
There's a premise, and then the three people on the panel have to come up with a story that fits that premise, but one of them is actually true. So you have to figure out which one actually happened, and so this it's very similar. Go ahead. You don't care.
I stopped listening. Okay. Yeah. story number one.
Yep.
Robert Crowe, a wrestling coach in Clear Lake, Houston, faced backlash from the PTA when he came out to assistant coaches, which that information then managed to find its way to the players. The PTA member, Janet Halton,
she sounds like a bitch.
demanded that Crowe, the wrestling coach, resign. But surprisingly, the players threatened to boycott the remainder of the season, and that successfully thwarted Janet Halton's campaign to get him fired. Story number two.
Number two. My favorite bowel movement.
I hate when your poops come out at number one. You're like, this wasn't for you. This was not meant for you. Okay. You know when you swallow and it goes down the wrong hole? It's the poop version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. Okay, number two. Due to complaints that Hallmark had no LGBT representation in its Christmas movies, the CEO recently indicated that he was open to creating an LGBT film and was accepting pitches. A Catholic organization opposed them creating an LGBT film, and it said it received over 25,000 signatures on a petition in under 24 hours. However, it turns out that that was very inflated because the site allows people to sign the petition multiple times as long as they use different emails.
Wow. Okay. Okay. What's the organization called? And I never mind. You're going to read what you're going to read, and then I'm going to.
Okay. I that is also
I'm
not
probing.
I know
for more information.
Also, that does is no indication because I wouldn't have remembered regardless.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Okay.
It's called the Fuck Twit Catholic. Ooh, that rhymes.
Oh.
It's a poem. Okay. Third story. Bishop Richard Malone of Portland, who had raised money through the church to fight same-sex marriage laws, has recently stepped down. Reason being, over the past year, he has been fighting these charges that he released a list of about 40 names of sexually abusive priests, and the actual number is likely to be over 300.
Wow. Okay.
So he says, after backlash from that and discussions with the Pope, he has said he has decided, made the decision himself to step down.
Hmm.
Which one is not true?
Okay, so number two seems believable.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost too good. I'm going to go with number two. Number two is fake. The Hallmark thing is fake. The Hallmark gay movie Catholic organization petition is fake.
That is incorrect.
Fuck!
Number two, do you have a second guess?
Number one.
Number one is correct.
Okay.
You got second place.
Okay, great.
You're the second best. Yeah, I made up that one. Which, the other two things are, the church does something shitty, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe you can just make up the news and it sounds about right. I should quote my sources. Number two, I got that information from the Pink News. And number three, I got from the Friendly Atheist.
Is that Sarah Austin?
Yeah, your local Friendly Atheist, Sarah Austin. No, that's a website.
That's it. That's the news.
Yeah. Do you remember what it was like when PrEP came out?
I sure do. Yes, it was a big deal because everybody was like, now we don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS anymore, which is pretty huge for the community.
Yeah. Well, imagine that, but for STIs. Imagine a world where STIs are a thing of the past.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep, and that's because it's 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. You don't want any of those. DoxyPep can make them not happen to you.
And DoxyPep from Shameless Care is one of the places you can get a hold of it. They are a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states with one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on their HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of their physicians will prescribe DoxyPep to you. Viola! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
It is affordable, just $109 a year, and that covers your online evaluation, the medication, and the shipping.
So ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/gayish and take control of your sexual health.
That's shamelesscare.com/gayish. Your liberation is waiting.
Your liberation. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can, yeah, that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out, and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it. Okay, should we talk about jerking off?
Should we talk about jerking off? Is that, am I roundabouting it like we did with rooming?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about jerking off.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. We didn't talk about like what order to do these things.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. Okay, I'll just go ahead. I don't think this is the first thing we should talk about.
Yeah.
But just to throw this out there, earlier today, you jerked off. And not just that. Wait, didn't you do the thing? Didn't you do your homework assignment?
I did it yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Oh, that's right, because we're recording it later.
Yeah. Okay. 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 Do you want that to be the first segment?
No, 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 no. Let's tease it. Mike went to a jerk-off club.
I went to a jerk-off club.
And we're going to talk about it, but no.
Which people have been really surprised is a thing. Like, I've talked to a couple of people about it. Like, this is what's going on. And they're like, what is that?
I didn't know until someone told me. I guess that's literally everything in the world.
Yeah.
You don't know until someone told you. Okay. No, I'll start with some data
okay.
that I have.
100% of people masturbate. End of segment.
Actually.
Okay. There was a boy in junior high who swore up and down that he had never masturbated, and we made so much fun of him for lying.
Oh,
we made him cry.
Oh, wow. Did he swear up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down?
Yeah. What's the Britney song?
Down and up and down and up and down and up and down. There's also a
it's
song.
It's about masturbation, right?
So, okay. This is a study from 2018 article in Gay Star News, which I think is uk.co.uk.
Pinknews.co.uk.
Gay Star News.
Gay Star News doesn't exist anymore.
Well,
they're out of business.
Well, they had an article that was still on their website. So
yeah,
they're not that out of business. They're semi-retired. Okay, so this is a study that was done by the sexual pleasure brand Tenga, all capital. Tenga. In conjunction with Pollsters PSB. So, of course, when people have motivation in a story like sexual pleasure, people that want to sell sexual things, you got to watch out for it. But I still think it's legit. So they surveyed 13,000 men and women age 18 to 74 in 18 countries, which included US, India, UK, Australia, Japan, Russia, and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a worldwide masturbation study.
Yep.
So they found that globally, also, this is self-reported data.
Yeah.
So that's like the biggest thing of like, This is what people say they do.
Like in our episode about dicks, when we were saying like the universally the ones that are self-reported are like they report bigger than is actually medically true.
Yes. 78% of people masturbate. It is expectedly higher for men than women. For example, in the UK, 96% of men said they masturbated compared to 78% of women.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. 96% masturbate. 3% are lying, and the other percent, I don't know.
Their hands are broken.
That tickled me.
Fun way to masturbate, actually, tickling yourself.
Oh.
If you tickled your dick, great. It's bloosh. Yeah, I don't know what part of that to believe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, regardless, it shows that, let's say women and men masturbate about the same on average.
Yeah.
That says that women are not allowed. They feel like they can't admit it or talk about it. Whereas I think men, it's okay to say you masturbate because they're just like dudes being dudes. Like,
okay. Okay. Interesting. That's interesting. Because like, and maybe this is misogyny. I don't know. We should talk about it. Like in my head, ladies masturbating less seems plausible.
It does like, seem plausible as well to me, but I don't know how much less. And I just wouldn't think it would be 20 percentage points less.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot. Like a lot, a lot.
Yeah. Let's see. Adults in general begin masturbating when they are around 15 years old. However, for...
What?
Whoop.
No.
Old or younger?
That's way too old. Way too old. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That would be in high school?
Yes. That's like almost driving. Look, if you get your driver's license, you better have been jerking off for at least 3 years. Because
that's part of the test. You have to have been jerking off for 3 years consistently.
But don't send us nudes, kids.
Don't tell us about it.
We don't want to hear.
We don't want to know. Again, like, okay, also, when the respondents were gay or bisexual, it was 13 years old.
Oh.
Which I could see that being a similar thing of...
What? Okay, go
what's
ahead.
What's your surprise?
No, it's no surprise. I was going to do a segment about like when I started jerking off. I remember.
No. Oh.
I remember how I did it and where I was and how come. And like I just it's well before that.
Well, no. Well, okay, I was just going to say,
did jerking off make me gay or did being gay make me jerk off early?
Oh, being gay made me jerk off because Cameron I miss you. I love you. Well, I was just going to say, I wonder if gay people... Well, okay. Let's come back to the cum because I think that is an interesting thing to talk about. I have one more thing. I think gay and bi people, similar to how men compared to women, men are more okay with, more allowed societally to say they jerk off. I think gay and bi men are even more likely than straight men to be allowed to talk about their sexual activities. It's that back to that same thing of when you break one sexual norm, you're allowed to now talk more about it and admit more of the truth, or we're just super horny. I don't know. The last thing is that this goes into the talking about it. Gay and bisexual people are significantly more likely to have talked about masturbation with a friend or significant other. This significant other, like, duh, because you both are like, you got a dick, right? You got a dick, right?
We play with them,
right? We both do this. It's so, like, the idea that women think masturbation is cheating is like, girl.
Okay, girl.
Girl.
Or that looking at porn is cheating.
Yeah.
Like, just, honey.
Mm-mm.
Look, I guarantee women, there are women out there who wouldn't want to deal with every one of her man's orgasms. Like, you should be thankful that he is getting rid of some of those that don't involve you, because you would be exhausted.
Yep. Same token. There are women out there that want sex more. And so the idea that it's always men is not true.
Or like when Trevor and I opened our relationship and he was getting banged by other people. It's like, thank God.
It's like when someone else takes your dog for a walk. Yes. You're like, ugh. Trevor also did whine very loudly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Also not housebroken.
Also similarly naked. Okay. So as an example, in the UK, 71% of gay or bi people talked about masturbation with someone else compared to just 42% of heterosexual people.
Okay.
That's gay and bi's are so much more likely to have talked about it with someone else.
Yeah.
Which I think that's awesome. Like, so much of the things we talk about are things you're not supposed to talk about, but everyone does. It's so stupid that 96% of men masturbate and not all of them have talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not dirty or shameful.
Yeah.
Except when I do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It
gets nasty. So, yeah.
Like you come in the privacy of your own home and then you're immediately like, what have I done?
I look around me at the blood and sweat and tears that surround me. And I'm like,
bodies everywhere.
My body parts are everywhere. Okay, that's the study. I was thinking about this as well when it was like, you know, gay and bi men, 13 years old. When did I first jerk off? And I think the very first time had to be in like 7th or 8th grade.
Okay.
So like 12 or 13. So this lines up for me.
Yep.
You said earlier for you?
I was 11. Hmm. And I mean, so it's not that much earlier, but...
I mean, in kid years, a year is like...
Right.
That's a long time.
Right. That's true. That's true. I also remember... okay. Are we doing this now?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about this now. Okay. I remember I was 11 years old. And I know that it was early because I didn't have any pubic hair and things hadn't started to grow down there because my method requires that I have a really, really small penis because I would like hold it between my fingers and wiggle it and like I could get the whole thing between my fingers. So that was like, that's how I...
Did you just say you have a small penis now?
I did at 11.
Don't send us your pictures, 11-year-old Mike. I just got weird with you talking about that.
I mean, like before your balls drop, right? Like things are like boy penises and man penises are very, very different. And it was definitely still a boy penis at that stage of my life, and nothing came out. I remember ejaculating, like orgasming, but not ejaculating.
Really?
And
I didn't know that was possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's actually pretty common. Like, before you are capable of making ejaculate, you can have an orgasm.
Huh.
In fact, there are some kids that discover that, like, in the crib, like, when they're still in diapers and you can't tell them not to, and they learn that they can hump things and it feels good. Like, that's a thing.
Also Trevor.
Yeah, babies love to hump him.
Don't send us pictures. We can't say that enough. Okay. Yeah. I remember I was later than my friends because I didn't know what the words jerking off meant. Yeah. And it was like a weird, uncomfortable thing where I didn't know what it meant and I couldn't ask them because they were talking about it. And but I needed to fit in. So I didn't say anything.
Yep.
And like, I didn't get it. I remember that pent up feeling that I couldn't explain. And now I know it's just like that sexual puberty energy, yep. Big puberty energy. Yep. And I like didn't know what to do. And I knew that other people, once I figured out what it was, jerked off in the shower.
Yep.
And I tried that and it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did ask someone once. I did talk about it at a young age.
Okay.
That's why I'm gay. I remember asking someone like, have you ever tried it and it didn't work? And so the guy I was talking to was like, only when I've already jerked off before. And I was like, oh no, I'm broken. And then I learned I can't come when I'm standing up. So the first time I tried in my bed, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yep. I made the same noise as that Cookie Crisp guy.
Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp. Calm. And then I remember, like, again, still not understanding. This is so insane that, like, maybe I wasn't listening in sex education. Or I think Texas...
Or they didn't talk about masturbation at all.
Texas sex education was just the word no. So I remember immediately after, I was like, what the fuck? So I went into the bathroom and I tried to do it again. And I, like, didn't know why I couldn't. Like, this thing came out, so I think I have to go to the toilet because I think it's like peeing. I need to get this into the toilet, but I didn't know it was like a one-time thing. And and boy, then from then on,
yeah,
Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, for sure, 100%.
But it sounds like your experience, like you knew a little bit more. Did you get sex education? Did you know it was happening?
So I talked about this on the show not too long ago. I got a book, like. The order of events for me for puberty, I was like 11-ish, and I had like my nipple hurt so bad I thought I was dying. I thought I had cancer of the tit, and I went and I asked my parents about it, and then my dad opened the sex book to the chapter about breast knots, handed it to me, and that's how I got my whole education. So I definitely like understood that men have a lot of the same plumbing for being a mammal as women do, and that hormones, your hormones are out of fucking control when you start puberty, regardless of your gender, and that like breast tenderness can be a thing for many boys. And I was one of those boys, and so that calmed me down. And then there was a treasure trove of information in there about all kinds of other stuff, including the tidbit that just because you're attracted to boys doesn't mean you won't grow out of it, which I think was terribly maladaptive for me.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, I knew that, like, this book was also very sex positive. And even though there were a couple of like homophobic like triggers, I don't think they were trying to be homophobic. They were trying to be reassuring to kids that are like stressing out about it.
And, well, there is a thing where like when you're, and I remember a guy that who is now straight, married to a woman, I believe that, like when he was my friend in junior high, and we did these things where we would like almost like dry hump each other, like as a joke almost, but it was, I think it was because like we have all this energy and we don't know how to release this and there are not girls nearby, and so like you just kind of do this make believe kind of thing.
Yep.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
but like, yeah, it is a thing that you may feel some kind of attraction or interest, or even in college you may experiment with men and you're not gay.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that is always the case. Yep. You know, so that, I think that's the tight line you have to walk.
Well, and yeah right,
that's not the phrase at all,
but you're trying to present the data, right?
Yeah.
Like some boys do experience same-sex attraction and some boys do grow out of that at some point, and like, yes, that's just fact. That's just factual.
Yeah.
The unfortunate byproduct of that, if you're a gay kid and you don't want to be and you're running from it and you're in denial about it, like that becomes this glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
And I think is bad. So so what do you do if you're the writer of that book, right?
Yeah.
You want to give the data.
Yeah.
But
yeah, hopefully you give something reassuring about like, and if you're gay, it's okay. And other people might not understand. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yep.
I remember, I think that's partly, well, there are a lot of reasons I like suddenly thought I was religious or became a little bit religious, because all my friends were like, have you heard of the apocalypse? Oh. I was like, oh, fuck, really? And
I got sucked in by eschatology, too.
Is that the study of apocalypse?
That's the study of the end of the world. Okay. Eschatology.
It's not snails.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, nope. Snails might be there, but that's unrelated.
Escargology?
It's just such a delicious end to the world. But I prayed every night that I would not be gay. So I like really wanted to.
That's heartbreaking. Are you heartbroken for yourself saying that sentence? Because it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. 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 I remember telling my parents that when I came out. It was like, you need to know that I don't want this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho, jerking off, it's a blast.
New shirt idea.
None of our shirts are SF dubs. So sorry. Also, speaking of jerking off, because that's literally the topic of this episode.
Yeah.
I think to me, jerking off like is a good indication of what you're into. Like people wondering like, am I really gay? Am I really straight? Whatever. It's like, to me, for most people, that question can be answered by, when you go look at porn, what do you look at? What do you jerk off to?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean everyone jerks off, or it has to be blah, blah, blah. Don't send me your corrections. But like, I think for a lot of people, that's a really good indication.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Like when you are masturbating and you have an orgasm, what fantasy brain thing was happening at that time? Because that should tell you a lot.
Yep. Yep. And mine was that one video, I think it was Bella Amy, of two soccer boys and one was on a beanbag.
I'm so jealous of young you having the internet.
And the fact that I had like roughly a 1 hour window when I got home by myself. And that was we had it set up in the dining room because no one uses dining rooms. They're the dumbest room ever. And except for Thanksgiving, which is also stupid. But so it was just set up there, our family computer. And then I would go there and like look at porn And then like someone would drive in the driveway and I'd like close, 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 pants, pants, pants. And then I would also print out pictures of naked men so that I could cut them out and put them in a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. my parents almost opened that drawer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did the obvious thing of don't open that drawer. And they were like, why? And I was like, avoided it. And then like, eventually I was like, there are notes in there. And they didn't believe me because I was lying, because they were correct. And I think my mom said something like, you know what, Kai? Or maybe my dad, my dad's better at this stuff. He was like, you know, I won't open this. I believe you and trust you. And that like, man, that was a, that could have been a,
yeah,
I was on the edge of glory. Yeah. That's what that lady.
What do you
Gaga
think it would have changed? Because your parents didn't handle it well when you came out. Like, do you think that they would have like freaked out? Like,
I mean, yeah, but also there were several other things that happened that they were real good at denial. Like, my dad saw me going in gay chat rooms, and I think he brought that one up. But like, if he saw that in my history, he had to see all the gay porn.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he walked into my room. I had a friend stay with me for like a summer. He walked into the room and we were in bed asleep together. And like,
okay.
So there are things that they like, they saw that they just were like, okay, we just want to believe that that's not true. So I don't know, but like having a stack of printed out pictures of naked dudes, that's a little,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how I would have gotten out of that but denial knows no bounds.
Well, girl. Hundo.
Hundo. What did you want to say?
Well, okay, so I don't know if the data that you mentioned is attributable to this or not, but the Judeo-Christian Islamic tradition says that masturbation is a sin. And I wanted to talk about why. And what?
I almost did that as a segment, but then I didn't.
Okay.
And I read that the Bible does not say it's a sin.
You know what, Kyle? Doesn't matter.
Okay. Never mind. I guess you'll get to that.
So,
I'm saying the Bible. You're saying the religion, like more holistically.
So those religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all have varying degrees of prohibition, depending on sect of masturbation. But the Bible never specifically mentions masturbation, nor specifically prohibits it, at least not in a way that isn't a stretch of some kind or has been debunked. Similar to homosexuality.
Yeah.
Like, there are the clobber verses, but none of them are unchallenged. And
clobber?
The clobber verses, they call them the clobber verses. They're like if you're a religious warrior and you're a child and like you're going to go on your mission, like here are the six verses that you can point to that say for sure being gay is bad. And I know which verses they are. They're the clobber verses.
Hmm.
Anyway,
I thought it was like Doctor Who. We've ended up in the clobber verse.
Oh, God.
I don't think any of that made sense. We must save the princess. I've never seen it. I don't know what that show.
Now it's Mario? What are you doing?
Bowser's on his way. Also, Star Trek.
So I wanted to talk about why it's a sin. Like, why do they think
that? This is good because I wanted to know this, but stopped researching because I got tired. So, okay.
So another word for masturbation is onanism.
Oh, because it's your own. My ownism.
I like that theory. End of segment. No. So it's because of Onan, who is a man in the book of Genesis, who was the son of Judah, and
the guy from the Lady Gaga song.
Yep. Judah. This is his son.
Judah,
So in Old Testament times, in traditional Judaism, they had some ideas that we would maybe in the modern era call fucked up.
Mm-hmm. But, like, didn't they stone so many people?
Yes.
Oh, what else?
They stoned people for lots of different reasons. So here's the deal. Back in the day, in like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus times, if your brother is married and dies, it's your job to fuck your brother's wife so that she has a son so that his name goes on.
Hmm.
And
every night in my dreams, I see,
yeah,
I fuck your wife.
Yeah, and it's just, and that's just, it's just law. Like, so if in olden times, if your brother Kellen was married.
No, let's you as an example.
Okay.
Man, you'd be so disappointed.
No, because both of my brothers have heirs.
Oh, they already have sons.
If your brother Kellen was married,
okay,
but didn't have kids yet.
Got it.
And he died, you would have to fuck his wife.
There are at least two reasons I don't like that.
I know.
Three, because I have to fly down there, and boy, that's pricey.
Well, so Onan didn't like that either. He's like, no, I'm not going to give my dead brother's widow a child.
I thought you could say like a dicking.
or a dicking. Although he did dick her, unfortunately. But he very specifically pulled out and jizzed on the ground.
Spilling seed.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. That's where that comes from. Huh. And that was against the law. He wasn't fulfilling his duty to make his brother's widow have children. And so God didn't like that and smote him or whatever. So, but that whole story, that whole saga of spilling your seed on the ground turned into, therefore, masturbation is bad for men. Women, not so much. But when did we ever care about women or their genitals?
Yeah, not out of like knowing anything. It's like we didn't know women masturbated. Right, it wasn't like they didn't want them to.
I mean, nothing
like,
comes out, I guess. So yeah, we're good.
So we don't get it.
But yeah, so the interpretation of that actually is that the sin of Onan was not fulfilling your duty, not doing your due diligence to uphold the law. But it got twisted. It got twisted as time went on into this idea that you can't jizz for reasons other than procreation.
Right.
And that's what the Roman Catholic Church did. That's what many, many other Christian sects have done. And in most sects of Islam, same thing. So
that's the entire, like, so much of religion. And that's why I had this question. It's like anything that, even if it is in the Bible, which you're saying it's not, but like anything that, even if it is, it's people that decide what to enforce and what they care about. So
yeah,
there's,
for sure,
the Bible is like a huge book of like, we can pick what we want to enact the laws we are, or the beliefs we already have.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I always wonder, like,
religion can take up the mantle of beliefs that they just have decided.
Yeah. And then you can probably find something in there. If 100 Mikeys type at a typewriter, there's going to be a Bible verse that outlaws it.
Yep. Well, and people don't know, like they say, because my preacher told me so. It must be in the Bible because my pastor told me so.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's like they just say shit that's like culturally accepted, that is whoever the minority we're trying to oppress du jour.
Yeah.
And anyway.
But the same could be said for teachers of, you know, when we were taught that like pilgrims and Indians were like, hey, buddies. Yep. You don't need this. You don't need this. Let's be friends. Like, it was a little deadlier than that.
It's true.
And less Mickey Mouse's were there.
It had a lot more smallpox. okay. So the thing is, the stories now, like back to like real life. I told everybody about the kid that we ridiculed in junior high for not masturbating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's because it's a mortal sin. Like in his religious tradition, it's a mortal sin. And he might not have actually masturbated. I doubt it. 96% of men do. It's a thing that happens. So he either legit had the control, was in that 4% to not masturbate because Jesus.
Or like me, it had not happened yet. Like maybe it was.
Yeah. I guess we were like 13, 14, 15 when that was happening. So like, I don't know. Yeah. It's a good point.
Late bloomer.
It's a good point. But he also could have, and felt so awful about himself I think masturbation is fun. I think it's wonderful. I enjoy it. I have a good time. I love jerking off. It is like top three favorite activities next to like eating and I don't know, video games. So
2 seconds before you masturbate.
And the idea that religion could take something that's so basic, so human, so so biologically imperative, mm-hmm. actually, and turn that into something horrible or wrong is, it's fucked up. That's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, the idea, so many of things, like the idea of impure thoughts as that being a sin, it's like, I can't, I literally can't control that. That is like, I mean, same thing as you're saying, like, that is just human nature. I remember thinking, like, when I jerked off and then I had to go, we like went to the doctor so he could like touch our balls, but in a good way. I was like, oh shit, I need to stop masturbating. I wonder if he'll be able to see or tell.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, yeah,
so I tried to stop myself from doing it, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm a young boy. Are either of us going to talk about the health benefits? I mean, I'm not.
The health benefits of masturbation? It's good for your prostate, kids. You should jerk off at least once a day.
Yep. Yep. And you should not video it or send it to us. Like, if we keep saying that, it'll hopefully negate the jokes we made. Don't do that.
There is evidence that suggests that masturbation actually reduces the risk of prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Like, just do it so you don't die of a horrible disease.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's fun.
Also, it's fun. I guess, yeah, that's enough. We don't need to keep going on this.
Oh, okay.
But, like, religion is evil and it sucks and I hate them. And they took this one story that's super fucked up from the ancient days of the Bible and turned it into, they ruined a very natural, awesome, wonderful, fantastic exercise in pleasure that hurts absolutely nobody.
Fucking your dead brother's wife. Let's all fuck our dead brother's wife tonight. And if he's still alive, kill him.
Fucking your dead brother's wife should be on this list.
Okay.
Here is I found a list of 50 of the best euphemisms for masturbation.
Oh,
are you ready
great.
For this?
I'm ready.
Poaching the egg. Shaking hands with the milkman. Manual override. Marching the penguin. Double clicking. Polishing the banister. Petting the cat. Lone rangering. Boxing the one-eyed champ. Celebrating Palm Sunday. Nulling the void. Visiting the safety deposit box. Orbiting Venus. Finding Nemo.
What?
Cuffing the carrot. Cooking cucumbers. Dialing the rotary phone.
It seems...
Some of these are for lady masturbation.
Oh, okay. It seems like any verb and any noun, preferably an animal or a food item, is masturbating.
Dialing the rotary phone for female masturbation is
That's
fucking
true.
Fantastic. I love it. Taking a self-guided tour. Playing 5-on-1. Making waffles. Doing a Meg Ryan.
Making waffles? Doing a Meg Ryan?
Downstairs DJ. Turning on the sprinklers. Shucking the corn. Softening the peach. Spearing the bearded clam. Paddling the pink canoe.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
That's all I can
take. Enough of those. Enough of those. Number 50 is watching the Magic Mike XXL trailer.
So true. So true.
Great.
I added that one. Is it time for me to tell you about cornflakes?
I want to hear about cornflakes. I know what you're going to say, unfortunately.
Oh, go ahead.
But go ahead.
No. You say what you think.
The inventor of cornflakes said that it was created in part to help prevent masturbation.
And Snopes says that is mostly false.
Fuck Snopes. Fake news. Okay, great.
Fucking Snopes. That's a masturbation term.
I believe Snopes.
Yeah, I know. And I can see why.
Because they always cite why.
Like, yes,
they
yes,
don't just they, say shit. They yeah, say shit they and show you how
giant,
you can check it.
Yeah, and I understand, like, mostly false. That's a little bit, they're trying, like, the very direct claim that he created that specific thing in order to stop masturbation. That's a lie, but there is some truth behind it, and I'll tell you about that. I had never heard this until I was doing some research. So
Eugene Lee Yang, who's the Try Guys,
mm-hmm.
The gay one
mm-hmm.
/ the Asian one,
mm-hmm.
He has this series on their channel called I'm Right, You're Wrong, Shut Up. And he and this hilarious kid who's maybe 10, they stack ranked like 24 breakfast cereals. And as they were talking about them, they put on the screen little factoids about the cereals, and the cornflakes one said this.
You just mostly watch that because he's beautiful, right?
I want him so bad.
Yeah. Well, now you're one step closer because he's gay.
Yeah. Except he has a boyfriend.
Mm. It's the modern age, Mike.
That's true.
You don't know their openness. So, and this is apparently a thing enough that, like, on Snopes, they posted, like, people put up these memes that were like, go check why cornflakes are invented. You'll thank me. Like, it became this thing. And even in a, there was an Australian article last year in news.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big get for them. News.com.au.
Sure.
They're just like, we're news. that said, and put it in quotes, which is another thing that adds to what, you know, the assumed credibility, which is not.
Do you think internet.com exists?
Oh, it has to. But I bet it's one of those park domains where it's like, were you looking for the internet? And like, and that's just all sponsored things.
Okay, great.
It said in quotes that, just paraphrasing, like, cornflakes were invented in the hope that plain food would stop people from masturbating.
How were people masturbating back then that it was a thing that needed to be stopped?
They rubbed smooth cereal on their dicks, and this one was so unpleasant to rub down there that they stopped.
It's a societal evil. People were masturbating each other to death. We had to stop it.
Can you? Okay, not that I want to die, but
death by masturbation.
That, I mean, that's not the worst way to go.
It's true. It's true.
Set on fire seems like the worst way to go.
I agree.
Set on fire while masturbating? A little better.
Hmm.
Anyway, okay. So what is the case? So it was John Harvey Kellogg created the...
Of Kellogg's.
Of Kellogg. Kellogg.
Mm-hmm.
Created Frosted Flakes for...
They're great. Continue.
Corn Flakes.
Mm-hmm. That's the rooster.
That's... Yes. And these are adequate. That phrase didn't catch on as much. He created them for health benefits, including... Okay, I've copied and pasted a bunch of stuff. I should have been better at this. He created them because he thought there'd be health benefits, especially for sick or convalescent people. Where they found see-through people, I don't know. But...
That's great. I don't even know how to correct that. I'm so confused by it.
What does convalescent mean?
Like you're convalescing.
Yeah.
Like,
thanks, Mike. That really helps me out. I totally know what
recovering,
it means.
Recovering from illness or injury.
You're convalescing. I'm stupid version of Mike. Okay.
Gayish.
Okay. So that cereal was not created to help people stop masturbating. However, the John Harvey Kellogg did have some weird views about sexual health. He wrote a book. Oh, he said that any forms like Churchy Church said, anything that is outside of heterosexual married couples fucking in the pussy to make a little baby.
Yep.
Was bad.
Yep.
He wrote.
Thanks, like, religion.
Thanks,
go ahead.
Religion. He did write a book in 1887 called Plain Facts for Old and Young, Embracing the Natural History and Hygiene of Organic Life.
Weird. I mean, this is from that era where people had like cages that hung outside their windows so that they could put their babies in the cage so that it could get some fresh air.
Boy, we really took that in a different direction these days.
Babies in cages?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
That's what we're trying to do.
We're just getting them some air. Our cages are like the cages outside out of Mexico.
Yeah, exactly.
They can just hang out outside of Mexico and get some fresh air.
That's the worst.
It is the worst. Have you seen the thing of
the nativity scene?
Yeah, where... I was gonna say Mary, Kate, and Ashley, but that's not what I meant. Mary, Jesus, and
Joseph.
Yeah, in their cages,
in cages
individual
separated.
Cages. Yeah, that's very not touching, meaningful, impactful. Anyway,
poignant.
Yeah, hmm. Yeah.
Great. Smells like lavender. It's poignant.
I love it. Okay. So the book was really popular around the turn of the 20th century. And it said there was an entire section of the book dedicated to masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds exciting at first, mm-hmm, but no. Mm-hmm. He referred to it as self-pollution and
ooh.
The solitary vice.
Ooh.
Which, I mean, I kind of like the name of masturbation being solitary vice. That sounds
solitary vice. That just makes me think of like
solitary vice now in New York. How did this grandma die? I don't know. Let's take it to the lab. She masturbated to the death.
CSI, solitary vice. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And he described it as the most dangerous of all sexual abuses.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great. Sure. Yeah, why not?
I don't know why I copied and pasted that section of the book can be read in full here. It can't. I can't. I'm not going to read it to you.
But
I just kept
posting a link to it.
Nope. Don't read any of that. So even though Snopes says it's mostly false, again, they're just like going after that specific claim in that quote. But this dude Kellogg had really messed up ideas about masturbation and also thought it created cornflakes because he thought it would help people. He thought that eating like spicy food and drinking alcohol and all this stuff was bad for you. He thought everyone should have a bland, boring diet, which like,
yeah.
Boy, yeah. He must have been so bored.
Well, I was going to say, I think that like if going through it in my head, if I had a boner, cornflakes would make it go away. Like it is the least sexually arousing of food.
Exact, totally. But then you throw some raisins on it, all of a sudden I got a chub. So
yeah.
It has to be play. Don't make that motion. I don't like that.
I'm going to frost those flakes.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, great.
Is now, are you drinking? Because now's the time. Now's the time to come to the aid of our jerking off session.
Okay, I'm going to talk about what I did yesterday.
Yeah. Boy, I'm kind of glad we moved the recording because you were going to go to this jerk off club and then immediately we were going to come back and record and I would feel very, very weird looking at you in the eyes.
Yeah. And I knew when we were doing it that that was a bad idea. Yeah. Like I knew. But okay. This is how the scheduling worked. So for homework for this episode, which yay for planning.
Yeah, we're so good.
I went to Rain City Jacks, which is a jerk off club here in the Seattle area. So I'm going to read part of the about section from their website. It's raincityjacks.org if this kind of thing is interesting to you.
.org.
Yeah. Rain City Jacks is a traditional jack-off club.
Say one of those modern jerk-off clubs.
A private social organization hosting group jack-off events for a diverse membership of adult men. We provide social sex play specifically focused on masturbation and mutual touch, emphasizing fearless and open expression of male sexual energy.
Fearless, like the Taylor Swift album.
That's right. So I'd heard about this organization years ago, even before I came out. I came across it and considered going when I was still married to Alyssa.
Really?
But I had never gone, could never bring myself to do it. And before, it was because I didn't want to get caught. Now it's because I didn't want to run into anybody that I knew.
Because you do have specific people that you know go.
Yep. So I told most of them, fucking stay away.
Wait, I'll cut this. Who goes?
Dan does. Just a smattering of people like that are on the acquaintance level that I think I'd actually be okay with running into.
Got it.
So where do I want to start? Well, okay. So here's the thing. It's a jack-off club. But the rules are no lips below the hips and nothing goes inside anybody's anything. That actually leaves a wide array of activity that is supported and okay in that space.
List them in the order that you did them.
Okay, I'll go chronologically.
Okay.
So it opens 15 minutes early for newcomers so that you can do the orientation.
Newcomers.
Yeah, spell a newcomer. So... you go in, and I showed up early. There was already, like, six dudes in there also filling out their paperwork.
That must be so weird to be, like, it's like a...
I'm going to see your dick in, like, 10 minutes. Yeah.
It's like a doctor's office if you knew you were going to see their dicks inside.
Yep, exactly.
So nothing. So nothing at all, like a doctor's office, actually.
But filled out the paperwork and gave them the money, and then... like we had to wait for it to be time for the orientation. So there's seriously just like standing / sitting around being like, all right, tap, tap, tap. What's yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is the right noise. You're making the right noise.
Did anyone talk?
No, God, no.
Okay. Good.
No.
That's the correct.
There was no.
Still,
So then we go into the play space, and there's like two dudes already in there, fucking naked. I guess like taking a practice lap. I don't know. But it's this big, it's this massive actually space. It's like grocery store sized, maybe. Oh. Like warehousey kind of, but not that big, not a big grocery store. Like a
grocery
like
store if it was all fruit.
But there's like chairs along the wall, and there's like a couple of like padded, like circular, like big, like loungy things. Yeah. And there are these elevated tables.
Aren't all tables elevated?
Yeah. Yeah. and then there was this like bar that had like water and mouthwash and like,
oh, wow.
But they just like walked us through that and took us downstairs into this area that was specifically designed for like, now you're getting the talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the talk was, this whole thing is about safety. This is not about sex, but it is about jacking off. But he sort of talked about the history of the club and that it was based on New York Jacks, which it was important that he say is a common misconception that these kinds of clubs were created as a result of the HIV crisis.
Oh,
that men needed a bathhouse-esque safe place to go. And that makes sense. Like that's an urban legend that your brain immediately goes, oh, okay, yeah, that checks out. Mm-hmm. I get it. But New York Jacks started before the AIDS crisis.
Oh.
And it was just because philosophically there are dudes that aren't into anal, aren't into oral even, but still want to be around dudes and jerk off together.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so the wristband system, he explained, there's green wristbands, which is you don't even have to ask, just fucking touch me. All you want to do it.
Wow.
And then red, which is absolutely do not touch me without very explicit consent on my part. And then not wearing a wristband, consent is very much encouraged.
I hope everyone not wearing a wristband, consent is encouraged just in all life.
Right. No, for sure. Absolutely. But it's like,
I'm open.
It's yeah. It's yeah. Exactly. It's like yellow. Like there's a default yellow.
Yeah.
So then they said, we recommend that you wear shoes because it may be slippery and there's like, it's a wood floor. And
I was wondering what happened to all of it. It just stays where it went.
Wherever it lies.
Oh, man.
Lays.
Let sleeping sperm lie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Can I just lick the ground? Can I roll around on the ground?
Probably.
Ooh.
I don't think that's against the rules.
Okay.
So
Which wristband did you put on?
I didn't put one on.
Oh, you were yellow.
And then there's a requirement that there be minimum participation, defined as you have to strip down to at least your underwear. I was a fucking nervous wreck, Kyle. Jesus Christ. Like,
okay, you...
What?
Well, when we were going to the sex hotel, you said that had we not been there, I mean, you would have been nervous first, but then you would have calmed down and chilled out. So it's interesting, yeah. Like, in this case, we removed the other people you knew being there. So
yes,
I'm curious.
Absolutely true. And when I first got there, it was the six dudes who were brand new.
Yeah.
And we like had this like brotherhood of newness.
Yeah.
Like we didn't talk to each other. We didn't fucking know each other. No. But like we were in this
you
together.
Were the freshman class.
Yeah. And we went downstairs and then he's giving us this talk and he's like, we average 70 men per event. So then like I was feeling kind of okay about everything. And then I was like, holy fucking shit. Like how many men are going to be here? How many am I going to know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fucking dudes.
Yeah.
So like that got my anxiety level back up. Oh my God.
I'd be more worried.
I can't fucking believe I'm going to tell you this.
Ooh, do it.
Yeah. As I was walking into the door, I swallowed the Viagra that I had on me because I was like, I don't want to chance this not working.
Yeah,
I'm doing it.
You had performance anxiety.
I did.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that that was a good idea though. So I went and I left my underwear on and my idea was those can come off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can have my like safety blanket and like those can come off.
Yeah.
All I had on was one pair of 2XIST briefs and my tennis shoes and my glasses.
Okay.
So came back into this room and it was fucking awful. The first probably 20 minutes were horrible because for a while I'm like, okay, I'll enjoy some of this water. I'll peruse the bracelets and see which one I want to wear. Oh, look, there's a table full of lube. I'll inspect those. But I was like, I was avoiding being there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was probably like 25, 30 guys there already by the time we got done with the orientation.
Well, that's nice that it wasn't just still your freshman class. Yeah. That, like...
right. Yeah. So my first impressions, a lot of dicks. There were a lot of dicks. Mm-hmm. And there were other people in underwear, but not very many. There were like maybe three or four of us. Mm-hmm. Everybody else fucking buck ass naked. And jerking off, but not really interacting with each other. People at that point were like strategizing about where they were going to sit.
Huh.
And I just felt so conspicuous. Mm. I felt like I was standing in the middle of this room, which I literally was. But like that I looked awkward that I didn't know what to do with my body. Yeah. I didn't know what to do with my hands. Like I was giving a speech or something. It was really bizarre.
Yeah.
Sort of perused the crowd. I was surprised by the diversity, not just age, but race and body type. And like it was
dick size.
It was all over the place.
Huh.
All over the place.
So were there like jacked hot dudes?
More on that later. Not initially.
Okay.
Not initially. I think most of the early comers, just like at Denny's, are like 80 and like they have dinner at 3:30.
Yeah. You know they just came from church.
Yeah. And then I'm not disappointed in retrospect, but I was disappointed in myself in the moment. I saw there was this bank of chairs sort of in a corner. One was free. I just went and sat in it.
Anyone near you?
No.
Okay.
No. So I'm in this dark corner in a chair just watching. And I was legit freaking the fuck out. Like in my head, I hate this. I look stupid. I'm like... I really, the first 15, 20 minutes were awful. And then I remembered like talking to Davey Wavy about like, hey, let's go to the sex hotel, but let's like give it at least an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we'll see what's happening. So then about 20 minutes in, I legit thought to myself, I'm either going to leave because this is horrible, or I'm going to pull a Kyle in the hot tub at the sex hotel and just take it off and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did. So I took my underwear off and I put them under my chair.
I was thinking about that when you're like, you can always take it off. It's like, but then what happens?
Yeah. And yeah. Which who knows what that floor was.
Oh.
It's seen some shit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
literally.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there and watching, and a lot more guys showed up while I was sitting there. Like arriving early at a dance or something, or like when you go to the bars at 9 o'clock and the gays don't go out until 11. Mm-hmm. So you like those 2 hours, it's pretty mellow.
Yeah.
It filled in. I ended up having a lovely time. I had a wonderful time and I'm going to explain why. This dude walked up and I'm trying to work on the fact that like my first thought is to describe him racially.
Mm.
And it's mostly because that's descriptive. Dan and I were actually talking about something pretty similar when we were setting up the equipment. Like identifying somebody's race is okay.
Yeah.
If it's descriptive, not my type, but also okay. Like he was very direct. He just...
Wait, you didn't actually say his race.
Oh,
you said you were going to.
The white guy I'm going to talk about later that I want to marry is later. He came up. I'm going to guess Filipino based on the everything that I'm seeing.
Sure.
But I don't know. So they encouraged us to do this in orientation, but I was underprepared for it when it actually happened. He just said, "May I touch you,
Mother? May I?"
And then again, should I do for the podcast? I had this moment and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking lean in so that I have something to say on the show.
Hmm.
And I'm super, super glad that I did.
Huh.
Because he was standing in front of me and he just grabbed my dick and was like, his hands had a bunch of lube.
If it's what they provide in the little cups.
Yes.
It's Albaline.
I don't know what that is.
Maybe she's born with it.
It's marketed as a makeup remover, but it is the lube of choice among people who masturbate.
Wow. Like, There were a couple of them there, so
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Have that in stock. So then I reciprocated, and I grabbed his dick, which was like weirdly thick but short.
Mm.
So then in my peripheral vision, two chairs down, because just like the urinals, you leave a chair between.
Yeah, I can see that.
I saw a boy sit down, and then the guy that had walked up to me and approached me, he said, "Thank you." And then he moved down. And so then I'm watching them interact, and I'm like, sweet Jesus, this boy is gorgeous. Holy shit.
I'm still on thank you.
Yeah. He's like, thank you. And then he moved down. Okay.
What did gorgeous boy look like?
Okay. White guy, blonde hair, glasses. It's very dark, so it's sort of hard to see exactly what's happening. So he could be anywhere from 25 to 50 years old. a really, really big dick. Like, not the biggest dick that I've ever seen, but gigantic. Like, this is a big old dick. And I'm just kind of watching them interact. And I had a couple of thoughts. The first of which was, dude that was just jerking me off is not that attractive, but this gorgeous boy seems to be into the attention that he's getting from him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's hope for me. And I know that's ridiculous. That's the thought process in the moment.
Yeah.
And then my buddy who had moved on, like, just made eye contact with me and did this, like, come here motion with his hand. So I moved over a seat and joined in.
Oh.
So it was fantastic.
That's a good thing.
I'm so glad that I had him in my life, because I was having a terrible time until he came up and just said, "Hey, may I touch you?" And
that's then it was nice that he like included you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it was really hot, like all three of us touching each other, and there was like nipple play, which I'm super into, and they were clearly into that also for themselves. So we were all on this like same level of like what's good touch and what we're into.
Did any of them have wristbands?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Neither of them did. And we were just kind of doing our own thing. The three of us, me shoulder to shoulder with super hot boy with a giant dick, and then this other guy that was like the facilitator. He was like the cruise director or whatever. And
the cruising director.
It was really great. And then I came, and it was
where?
On the floor.
Okay.
It was a surprise. I was trying to get them to stop. I'm about to blow stop kind of a situation.
Yeah.
And they stopped, but they didn't stop fast enough.
Oh.
So, like,
yeah.
I came. And I was really embarrassed, actually, by that. Oh. Because it was like, I don't know. And then the guy, the cruise director, really sweet. He's like, great, no problem. Just, like, let us know when it's time for round two.
Wow. I thought he was going to say thank you again.
Well, he did.
Oh.
Because the I'm so sad. I didn't get his number. I don't know his name.
Well, how do you get his number? You don't have a thing to write it down.
Oh,
with.
I could remember it if you told me his number. He was like, I don't want to come. I'm going to come once. Like, that's how I roll. Yeah. So I'm going to take a break. I was like, okay, that's the line that I would give if I wanted to escape a situation.
Oh.
He stood up and took his giant dick elsewhere. And the other guy again said thank you and also like moved on. So then I was sitting there, I'm like, okay, that was fantastic. I just came, what do I do?
Hmm.
Maybe I'll leave. And I didn't, and I'm glad that I didn't. So there were a couple of people that then came and sat next to me and didn't say anything. They just kind of bumped my leg with their leg.
That must like, be the like sup.
It's like
the in-person version of on Scruff saying hey.
Yes, absolutely.
I was like, I know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, he was doing the consent thing but not using his words. Like, mm-hmm. He put his hand on my thigh and then made eye contact with a like, is this okay look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Which I accepted as,
yeah, I've had that at the bathhouse where someone like comes by, sits next to me, I don't look or take any interest, and after a minute, they get up and leave. You know, it's like the, okay, got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were okay. They actually, the dudes that did that trended older, and I feel bad about that. But like older or not, like not into them either, yeah. And I feel bad about that. But and then he came back. The beautiful
Hot Boy?
Yes, Hot Boy came back and he sat down next to me.
Ooh.
But also didn't communicate, but that's fine because I was in it to win it at that point. But we had a lovely time. He took another break because he was going to come, and then he came back. Like, and so wow. That felt very validating, actually.
Repeat.
Yes, exactly. And then I got to make him come, which I feel weird about that sentence. And then I came too. But then he like bolted. He like stood up and went downstairs, and I saw him like 30 seconds later in his clothes leaving the space. They said that coming to Rain City Jacks, it is strictly forbidden to talk to other people about being there if it's in a way that's going to out them at all as somebody that does that. Not okay. So, and actually, strictly speaking, saying that Dan has been there.
Well, Dan said that Dan
would be breaking
there.
The rules, except that he gave consent to do
I
that.
Gave verbal consent that was not on air, but now I'm doing it on air, so it's really okay. Clear. So Mike can go back because he needs to go back so he can find his blonde Adonis.
Oh God. Okay. First of all, I need to say, not an Adonis. Part of what I found so hot is this boy is like 5'6", 5'7", and skinny. And that made his very big, but not the biggest dick I've ever seen, but very big dick, look fucking massive because his body did not fit his dick. It looked ridiculous on
like
him.
Like a baby elephant's trunk.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm really glad how that sentence ended.
I mean,
baby elephants do not send your pictures.
Unless you are old enough in your local
jurisdiction. So then I sat there for a little bit, but like I was done. I had two orgasms and like,
and still were you like hard the entire time because of Viagra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually I was. Yeah. So I went downstairs and put my clothes on and left. And then like, I've been kind of obsessed. Like I've been scouring Scruff and Grindr looking for this boy because total missed connection. Like,
I mean, not really missed.
Yeah. But like the things that we talked about, because we did talk. That's the other thing, which ew. I know. Yeah, I knew you would make that face when I said that sentence. We're clearly not talking about like physics or anything, but you can still, based on somebody's diction, their word choice, the way they carry themselves, the tone of their voice, like you can tell
a lot of their dick.
You can tell a lot about a person just based on that.
Yeah.
And that it made me very interested just based on the vibe that I got from that interaction.
Well, I mean, they say like, I mean, there's only a very small percentage of communication that's verbal. Like, I don't know, 10-20% is verbal. The rest is how your dick acts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is acted great.
It's very kind dick.
Yeah, very, very kind dick.
What's noticeable to me is I get that like those kinds of feelings of anxiety or discomfort don't have logic to them. Mm. But every time you said like, I feel weird about sitting in a corner and watching, like that seems like what it's there for. Like it's there for people to sit and watch. Like that's the entire thing about it. So like,
well, and in the orientation, he said, if you're going to come, say something. Not just so that people know that they might get something on them, but because we want to know when you're coming so that we can watch.
Which
I didn't notice that as part of the culture, but I was interested in and terrified by that in the orientation when he said that. And then there were some people that were very vocal, like
replicate.
Hello, I have an announcement to make. I am going to ejaculate.
Is
now.
This thing on? Attention.
or very loud grunting, very loud noises when arriving. And it was interesting. It was really interesting.
So you said you enjoyed going. You're glad
yes,
you went.
Yes.
Would you go back?
I want to go back to find him.
Okay, would you?
I'm
worried.
Serious.
That,
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I know you're not, and that's what worries me. Set him aside. Would you go back if you knew he was distinctly not going to be there for the next year? Like, would you want to go back?
Yes. To see if I had a repeat good experience.
Yeah.
Like making that's a legit. Connection with somebody that I really enjoyed, and I did not sample the 70 men that were present, but had interactions with about five or six, and a really, really good, strong, enjoyable connection with this one person. If I was to go back and he wasn't there and there was no him there, if that makes sense, then probably not. I found it awkward enough and sort of not my vibe enough that I don't know that I would become a repeat customer.
It's just interesting that, like, only going twice, if you have a good time once and a bad time the other time, you don't... It's interesting that that would make it so you wouldn't go. Like, you're still 50-50.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a rational argument could be made that, like, I would... If I had a bad experience, I would at least need to go one more time.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, if you had a really bad experience at first, that sucks. I mean, that reminds me of you talking about your first hookup with a dude.
Yeah,
of, like,
totally.
One, the first bad experience then can mess up your perception and... Yep. It may not always be, maybe this was a one-time thing and the rest of it is going to be different.
Maybe I marry him.
Maybe you marry him. Maybe you marry his cum. I also think that this seems very much up your alley. Like, I mean, you watch porn of just one person, which, can you even call that porn? But, like,
yes,
can you?
Yes.
But, like, I don't know. I just think you like watching things. You don't, like, you can get anxiety about, like, pressure of, like, one-on-one sex. Like, it just seems like this is very, just seems right for you.
So the first 20 minutes when I'm sitting there, I'm like uncomfortable and not having fun. I just, like the dude in college, that bad encounter convinced me that maybe I'm not gay. I had maybe I'm not a voyeur conversation with myself, because I, like, hear all of these dicks being used all over the place and I can see them. Why am I not enjoying this? Yeah. Is sort of a weird, confusing thing.
Well, I'm glad you pushed through it. Like, I'm glad you got past that. Okay, just to clear, we've talked about this off mic. That's such a douchey phrase.
off pod.
Off That's pod. Oh, yeah, yeah. but... Like, you have said, oh yeah, I'm doing this for the podcast, as a way to justify you wanted to go and try it out.
Absolutely. And I will continue to do that.
Yes. No. I think that's great. If you can, and also if in your head this gives you a justification, like a reason to push through your anxiety and try something, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, if you need a reason to push through your anxiety to try something, do it and then leave a listen message unless you're underage.
Yeah. That's right. I did want to ask you, do you think you would go?
No.
Is that because there's zero interest or because your anxiety about it would prevent you from exploring
it? Good question. Anxiety, and also I want to give blowjobs. I would go to, like, a Rain City Blows.
Okay.
Is that a thing? I'm just not into jerking off and watching jerking off only enough to... Well, but I like making out.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it just... That is not compelling enough, I don't know, for me to... push through my anxiety to go.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah. Jerking off.
Did we do it?
Yep.
I jerked off a whole bunch.
Good for you. This is the one time where you talking about yourself jerking off doesn't make me feel weird. Because it's for the podcast.
Great.
I guess I said that gay people are more likely to be able to talk about it. We should be able to talk about it.
We should. It's amazing.
Yeah. But don't talk to me about it.
Yeah. Great. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
You know what I'm going to do on the break?
Think of your gayest and straightest.
Yep, I am.
If you're gone for more than 2 minutes, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Are we back?
Oh, we're back. Wow.
We're back.
I didn't even have my headphones on. You're jumping in. You were a premature headphone-inator.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Dan, was that a good segue or really forced?
You're supposed to say we're going to do our gayest and straightest.
Oh, we're going to start. Well, I wasn't ready. Just like premature ejaculators. We're going to do our gayest and straightest first.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first.
In our Patreon bonus segment, if you want to hear Dan talk about the ways jerking off helped him get over premature ejaculation, take a listen.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Individual results may vary.
Exactly. But if you need his step-by-step method, you can listen to that or go on ehow.com with pictures. unless you're underage. And then also, Dan, you were going to tell us...
If you want to go and have an experience like I had in your city,
and
if
you're of age,
and you're of age, and don't send us pictures.
Don't send us pictures.
No, wait. If you're not of age, don't send us pictures.
Oh, wait.
Also, if you're not of age, don't go to one of these clubs.
Right, right, right.
But here are the clubs that you can go and jerk off with strangers. Here we go.
All right. You've got Atlanta Jacks in Atlanta, Georgia. Boston Jacks. Charlotte Jacks in North Carolina. Cleveland Jacks. Windy City Jacks in Chicago. Yukon Jacks. It's Connecticut. It's Yuconn Jacks. Club Jack Denver. Motor City Jacks in Detroit. Kansas City Jacks in Missouri. New York Jacks. Orlando Jacks. Philadelphia Jacks. I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but Dayburg Jacks in Pittsburgh. Stumptown Strokers in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, God.
Rain City Jacks, of course, here in Seattle. San Francisco Jacks. And then internationally, we've got Club Stroke in Australia. That's in Collingwood.
Okay, okay. In Collingwood? Collingwood. Okay.
Melbourne Wankers.
I like that.
I'm not making these up.
No, I know. I just really enjoy it.
Calgary Jacks, Toronto Jacks, and London Jackoff Club. And that is the list that is currently on the Baiter blog, which is a subsection of Bait World, which I talked about in my Patreon segment.
Yeah.
Well, there's not masturbation there, but our website is gayishpodcast.com.
All of our social media is at gayishpodcast or /gayishpodcast. We are on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, YouTube. So check us out.
Yep. Yep. Our hotline. You can send us text messages or leave us
Twitter.
Voicemails. Yeah, Twitter.
Sorry, keep going.
Our hotline. You can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, especially your gayest and straightest, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
And our email is gmail@gayishpodcast.com.
That's right. And I want people to know that if you want to support us on Patreon, unfortunately, because we are not safe for work and are classified as explicit, you cannot find us on the Patreon app. You must go to the website to find us. It's patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Good call. Fuck you, Patreon.
Yeah.
Also, please give us our money. Gayest and straightest?
Gayest and straightest, yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. So the gayest thing about me this week is the fact that my ex-neighbor, Kelly, that I went to Scotland with, I love her so much, and she gave me a Christmas present.
What'd she give you?
A book titled How to Live with a Huge Penis. And I love everything about it. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's all comedy. It's not, like, meant to be an actual, like, how debilitating can a huge penis be? Like, do you really need, like, instructions on how to function with a huge penis? I wish I knew. Anyway,
we already used the like measuring chart to figure out how.
Here, Dan.
To figure out how. Well, we were trying to figure out if this should have been my gayest thing. How big could we like put something into our mouth? And so we measured with the measuring tool to see how, and I got it. I did it.
On the inside of the front cover is a lengthometer.
Sure.
Where you get rated based on size. And then on the inside of the back cover is a girthometer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ridiculous. Like a 7-inch girth is not a thing that exists in the universe. Mm-hmm. There's just no fucking way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
And
there's
no way you're fucking.
No. Oh, that will not go in things.
Nope.
The straightest thing about me this week, the AMA has happened. And
ask me anything.
The artist of the decade is Taylor Swift. She won the artist of the decade award, which
I'm gonna let you finish.
They invented so they could give it to her.
Sure.
I did not realize how much I fucking hate her.
Why?
Until they gave her that award and I had a diatribe that everyone had to listen to.
Yeah, you get to talk about things when you win awards.
Fucking
why?
Hate her.
Why?
She's totally packaged. She's fake. All of her songs are exactly the same. Same chord progression. Same, like, it's just, I can't stand her. I can't stand her. And I don't, like, nothing about her seems genuine or interesting. And I hate her. And just the rage, the just like expression of pure rage felt very straight to me.
Suck it, Taylor. And also not liking Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So if you're Taylor Swift, go rim yourself. The gayest thing,
or go jerk yourself off in front of strangers.
Yeah.
At one of the clubs, Dan just said.
The gayest thing about me is I am trying to redo my place. I am trying to get new things, change it up, make it my own. And so I've been,
haven't been there in a while. Have you?
There's just like that beautiful, colorful rug. You're going to be there this Thursday.
Nope. I'll be in Ohio.
Oh, fuck you. I it's not too different yet, but I'm like ordering a bunch of new stuff and going to change it around and have some good ideas. And so I'm excited about that.
Cool.
The straightest thing about me is I've hate to disappoint. I don't really care, but I'm moving over from rosé to red wine.
Oh.
So that's definitely a straighter progression. I mean, wine in general is still, you know.
It's not that straight.
It's not that straight, but neither
am I. It's like European straight, which barely counts.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm doing red wine. My favorite red wine actually is Merlot, which that's pretty straight. And we're going to...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to move on. We're going to play listeners.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Hold, please. While I'm doing that, I wanted to mention, this is dangerous, but don't care.
Ooh.
Yeah, I am going to be, the day that this episode drops, which you like that verb for our episodes, I will be in Toledo, Ohio, and I plan on going to Mojo's, which is a local gay bar there. So come rape me.
No, don't. You're not wearing a green wristband.
Yep.
Hi, Mike and Kyle. It is Matthew and Steven over at Planet Daddy Podcast, and we are just calling in with our gayest and straightest. My straightest, well, actually, I'm going to start with my gayest moment of the week, was that I had to figure out a way to schedule getting my hair colored with my brunch plans yesterday. But my straightest moment of the week was not knowing what day I had to do my hair, so I just didn't shower until then for a couple of days. Mine is also hair-related. My straightest was walking in with no appointment to get a haircut. And then my gayest was talking to the stylist for an hour about how her friend's boob job is really way too big for her frame. And that's it.
Yeah. So, thanks, guys. You said. Hope you have a good night.
Oh, that's our Planet Daddy friends.
Oh, man, not having an appointment to get your hair done, that's such a straight thing.
No, he did have an appointment.
No, he said he didn't have an appointment.
Oh, he didn't have an appointment. I thought he had an appointment and then forgot when it was.
No. Stevens.
Oh.
Were you?
I don't know.
Okay. thanks for leaving it. We're so glad to have listened to it so carefully.
So that's it.
That's it.
A special thank you to...
to all the cum on the floor at Rain City.
That beautiful boy with the huge dick that sat next to me and let me play with him. Please call me if you're listening.
585-542. Yeah. Jerk off.
Jerk off.
Jerk off.
Everyone.
Yeah. If you take nothing.
Unless
away
you're
from
underage,
this,
don't do that.
Nope. You do it, but don't let us know about it or anyone else in your life.
That's it. This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
Blow you next week. Because we're jerking off this week.
Yeah.